deal with Goldman Sachs threatens to bring down a government. From APM in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for David Brancaccio, with the global perspective on business and economics. And from the perspective of Danish Prime Minister Helle Thorning-Schmidt, things are not looking so great today. Socialists have quit her three-party coalition government, and Danes are protesting. They're protesting Goldman's bid for a stake in a Danish state-owned utility. For more on the story, the BBC's Marie Keyworth joins us from Copenhagen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Explain how a potential investment from Goldman Sachs could lead to a falling apart of the Danish coalition government.
Well, quite. It's shocking. It's been described to me by one person as the biggest scandal in Danish modern times politically. And it's all this uproar about the 19% stake that Goldman Sachs are going to get in the energy company DONG, which is a Danish oil and natural gas company. Now, they're seen as a real bastion of Danish industry. And the fact that an American company, specifically Goldman Sachs, is going to have a stake in it has really upset the Danish population over here.
I was struck by images of protesters doing things like holding signs of a giant vampire squid, a way Goldman has been described by a journalist here in the U.S. This seems to have really bothered folks in Denmark.
That's right. It's seen here as a symbol of kind of the worst excesses of capitalism, instrumental in the financial crisis of a few years ago. The fact of the matter is that DONG really needs this money. It needs a lot of private investment in order to survive as a company. So the government's really quite hamstrung here.
The BBC's Marie Keyworth in Copenhagen. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lizzie.
From one big bank to another, JP Morgan Chase wants a buyer for its commodity business. The deal could be worth about $2 billion for the bank. Commodities have been profitable for banks in the past, but now several are changing course. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
Banks do more than trade commodities. Duke University finance professor Campbell Harvey says their holding companies will actually take possession of the physical commodities like aluminum or oil.
So it might be that you own tankers that sit offshore filled with oil waiting for the price to rise. Most people don't associate that kind of business with a traditional banking business.
Government regulators aren't crazy about the idea either. Law professor Michael Barr teaches at the University of Michigan. He says the feds are reconsidering whether the bank should be in the commodity business.
If it's traded for short-term swings in profit, commodities trading could be one of the activities that would be curtailed by the Volcker Rule.
JP Morgan and other banks have been looking for an exit. Harvey says it would be good for the banking industry to move away from commodities. He worries that risky bets on commodities could result in another round of bank bailouts. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Think about what freedom means to you at work. If you've got an old-fashioned style boss, does it maybe seem like a foreign concept? Do you want more autonomy, more independence, or maybe you have it? The firm LRN has been surveying companies to see how free they are. Dov Seidman is their CEO. Good morning.
Good morning.
Explain to me what freedom means in a business sense. That's not something I normally associate with a company.
Well, business, after all, is about free enterprise. And we've looked into, in fact, how free is free enterprise. And surprisingly, business is still more shackled than free. And successful companies are flattening. People are more free to contribute their character ideas and free to innovate. And those who can harness that kind of freedom are the ones that are winning. But 50% of companies, nonetheless, still show very low levels of such freedom.
Give me an example of a real-life company that you think has done this well.
You know, it's hard to do at scale. A company that I think has done a great job doing it at scale is, frankly, Southwest Airlines. And the story that I like to tell is I landed in Las Vegas on a Southwest Airlines flight. And when the plane came to the gate, the flight attendant came on the speaker with passion and said, "We've done extensive research at Southwest Airlines. And it turns out that before you deplane, if you cross your seatbelts one over the other, you will have good luck at the gambling tables." And we all started laughing. We thought it was funny, but then we did it. Through how she connected with us, she got us to supply compliance with law. they turned their planes around 6 minutes faster than their nearest rival. It would have taken her 6 minutes to go up and down the aisles and do it herself, but through her sense of humor, she got us to deliver a competitive advantage for her airline.
You announced the survey at Davos. How'd it go over?
It went over pretty well. I think the CEOs in Davos are very concerned that for the first time, the number one risk they face is social unrest and inequality. The fact that wealth is still concentrating, but power is diffuse. One banker can lose $2 billion trading at his desk, and you know Netflix raises prices, and 800,000 consumers leave in 48 hours. They're operating in a world where they have to forge very deep connections with the people they're in contact with. And it's a new journey for them.
Dev Seidman, CEO of LRN, thank you so much.
A real pleasure.
Finally, the American condiment market has a king. Not ketchup, not mustard, not barbecue sauce. It's mayonnaise. We Americans eat about $2 billion worth of mayo each year. That's according to data from Euromonitor. Ketchup, by the way, worth $800 million. In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.